بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا Respected elders and dear friends, Alhamdulillah, we meet again for this blessed month of Ramadan. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala, He allows us the ability to talk about, mention those things that will benefit us, where we can bring it into our lives and make it a source of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Out of all the favors Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us, undoubtedly, the favor of recognizing Him, that Allah is our Creator, the one that we should be worshipping, and giving us that ability to worship Him is an amazing, amazing blessing. Truly, from the bottom of our hearts, we should be full of thanks to Allah Ta'ala, full of that gratitude towards Allah Ta'ala that He has given us, enabled us that ability to worship Him. That we prayed Asr right now, yes or no? This Asr that we have prayed, we have to thank Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I thank you so much that you gave me the ability to pray this Asr. Thank Allah for these blessings. Because sometimes we neglect and we take it for granted. We take for granted the worship that we have been given by Allah, the ability to do. This worship that we're doing, it's only given to us through the enablement of Allah Ta'ala, isn't it? It's the gift and the guidance of Allah. Without the guidance of Allah, would we be sitting here today? Who knows where we would be roaming? Maybe not fasting even. Not recognizing the importance of Ramadan like so many Muslims are outside. Unfortunately for them, Allah has not guided them. He has not enabled them, not given them the guidance, the tawfiq. The question is why? Why? Because why? We need to understand this. Otherwise, what will happen is, in this month of Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, Allah gives us the ability to pray Asr with Jama'ah, yes or no? Allah gives us the ability, Allah gives us the ability to pray our 5 times Salah with Jama'ah in the masjid, yes or no? We pray Fajr in the masjid. Isn't that amazing? What happens after Ramadan? I'm sure we all know the story, right? What happens after Ramadan? We don't find ourselves in the masjid again, do we? And the same story over and over again, repeat. It's like on repeat. Somebody's pressed the repeat button and it's constantly looping, looping, looping. Same, 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 same. Next Ramadan comes again, we find ourselves in the masjid. Ramadan finishes and again we're finding ourselves away from the masjid and we'll stumble along in the masjid here and there, maybe for Maghrib Salat, here and there, maybe we'll find ourselves in some Ishas and that's it. Well, Jumu'ah will come. And that's it. Isn't it? Don't we want to do something about it? Isn't it about time that we actually did something about that though? Are we going to carry on doing the same old thing? Are we going to carry on in our same style of life? Like, we're happy with that. I'm happy. Can anyone raise their hand and tell me that they're happy with that lifestyle? Isn't this worshipping of Allah, coming to the masjid, sitting here for a while, doesn't this give us so much more inner peace, so much more contentment, so much more inner happiness? Does it not make you feel happiness? The way you're sitting here right now in that comfort, with this contentment that you're sitting here with right now, tell me where in the world you will get that contentment. Tell me. For those that have maybe visited nightclubs, for those that have visited maybe so many other places, do you get the same enjoyment and the same contentment, same peace as you get over here? Okay, no problem. Let's not give examples of sin. For those who have been on holiday, sitting there nice sunbathing in the sun. Yes? Does that give you the enjoyment that this gives you? The contentment, the inner peace that this gives you right now, that you're sitting here right now? The joy that this gives you, the joy that a person feels when they're sitting on the dastarkhan at iftar time, making dua to Allah Ta'ala, breaking their fast with that one date and a bit of water. That joy that we feel at that time, nothing in this world that can fulfill that joy. No worldly possession, no materialistic gain will give us that pleasure, isn't it? So we want to make sure that this is throughout our lives continual, isn't it? No? So let us analyze a little bit as to why it is that we find ourselves going back to the same old routines after Ramadan. Do you remember we talked about this last year? Who can remember last year? It wasn't that long ago, it was only 1 year ago. Last year we talked about a certain topic. Who can remember? This is the test now, yeah, to see how many of us have been acting on what we hear. Or are we sitting here just for entertainment? Just for time pass. Now I've done a lot of recitation of Quran from after Dhuhr, you know, and then before Asr as well. I'm a bit tired now, you know. Let's see what he's got to say. Yeah, new speakers here today. Let's see what he's going to say. Yeah, time pass a little bit. Is that why we're sitting here? And if that is our intention, we need to correct our intention from now. Because then we're not getting reward. And then whatever we hear, we're not going to act on. So whatever we hear, it can become a problem for us in the hereafter. It can become a problem for us. That you knew, but you still didn't do. You were told, but you still didn't act. So we don't want to be from amongst those people, right? So who can remember? I've given enough time now to jog those memories maybe. We talked about a certain topic. I left you with one thing, one task to do. No, one person can remember. Come on, there must be one person. So this is the time when everyone hangs their head in shame, yes? Because we don't remember what we talked about, meaning we made a strong intention, if you remember. If you remember, with jogging memories now, we talked about taqwa. How Allah Ta'ala, I gave a hint towards it in the verse that I recited at the beginning. How Allah Ta'ala, He granted this month, just to jog memories, yeah? He granted this month to gain taqwa, isn't it? And we understood a practical understanding of how we're going to gain that taqwa. What do you mean by taqwa? What is taqwa? Taqwa is not that scary, you know, quality that we think that is not for me. For me at this stage in life. Maybe when I have white beard, yeah, then maybe I want to go to the masjid a lot, yeah, then I will have taqwa maybe. Yeah. But for now, you know, I want to enjoy life a bit. Taqwa is not that. Taqwa is that quality which made us come here for Asr. Taqwa is that quality that we are sitting here fasting. Isn't it? Why? Who tells you to stay hungry, thirsty, stay away from sexual desires? Who tells you to do that? Allah, right? The question is, will anyone see you if you go around the corner somewhere, no one sees you, you're really hungry, or you're really thirsty? Take a sip. And then come back. Act like you're fasting in the masjid. Nobody's going to know, right? Will anyone know? So why is it that you stop yourself from doing that? From taking that little bit of a, you know, or anything that you do? What stops you from that? Taqwa. Because taqwa is the quality which keeps us away from sin. It keeps us away from the displeasure of Allah. That's taqwa. So the fact that we are sitting here, the fact that we are fasting, the fact that we're doing all these good deeds, stay away from the displeasure of Allah, this is taqwa. We have taqwa. And the proof of our taqwa is that we're able to pray 5 times salat with jama'ah in the masjid. We're able to sacrifice our sleep, even if you sleep late. Some people in the Ramadan, they sleep late, yes. Sleep 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock maybe even, yes. Got late today. Will you wake up for Fajr? Still will you wake up, yes or not? Because we're looking forward to that sleep afterwards, inshallah. Yes. But will you wake up for Fajr, won't we? Yes, we'll wake up for Fajr. So what makes us wake up for Fajr? Even if we're tired, sacrifice our sleep. Even if it's raining, we'll still come. Doesn't matter how cold it is, doesn't matter how windy it is, we'll still come in the masjid. Why? What keeps us going? Taqwa. So Allah is giving us taqwa in this month, isn't He? Because this is what's enabling us to do this. So we understood that what works against taqwa, it's the two things, the two enemies of ours. Remember, jogging memories now? Last year we talked about this. One is shaitan, the other is nafs. Do you remember it now? Does it jog memories to everybody? Normally when I say this part, people start remembering things, flashbacks, yes? They remember, we talked about this, how shaitan is locked away by Allah Ta'ala in this month. Allah facilitates us. If He facilitates by locking the shayateen away, because the shaitan we can't control, he's our enemy, he's driven by his enmity towards us, yes? So that's what he's driven by, and he's going to always try to mislead us. So Allah Ta'ala, He locks him away. And the nafs, what does Allah Ta'ala do? He brings it back into control. And how does He bring it into control? By starving the nafs. Is it? By making the nafs have to fast. By us having to fast, what happens? We're teaching the nafs that you only do what Allah says when Allah says. If Allah says stay away from food, even if you logically don't understand halal food, you're telling me to stay away from it? Yes, stay away from it. Yes, we understand that. So you're training the nafs that you only do what Allah says when Allah says. If Allah says no, then it's no. When Allah says yes, then it's yes. That's why, can a person at Maghrib time decide that I want to fast one more hour extra? I feel extra pious today. I want to get extra reward. What do you think? Can a person do that? No, you're not allowed to do that. You have to break your fast. You have to break your fast at Maghrib. It's in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. That this ummah will continue to be upon the khair, upon the good, as long as they do iftar early, meaning at time, and suhoor late, meaning they do suhoor towards the end time. So this is mentioned to us by Rasulullah ﷺ. There's various ahadith. There's one hadith of a sahabi comes to Aisha and her mentions that which one of the two companions are better. One companion, he breaks his fast early, quickly, straight away. And he prays his Maghrib after, you know, straight after that he prays his Maghrib. The other one, he prays Maghrib first, then he delays his iftar. Delays his iftar. Which one is better? So she asked her, which one is the one that hastens his iftar? Does it early? Does it on time? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Says he's better. The other was Abu Musa Ash'ari. So you see, breaking the fast on time is better. This is what our Sharia teaches us. Because what we have to understand is what our Sharia teaches us in this fasting is to, you know, restrain ourselves, to restrain the nafs. And we made a little bit of a deal, if you remember, yes? That at iftar time, we're not going to stuff ourselves. This should bring memories, yes or no? At iftar time, we're not going to what? Overeat. We take in our plate a reasonable portion. Yeah, and we don't eat beyond that. Because eating beyond that is feeding the nafs. I'm sure this brings back memories. Right now, everyone can remember we talked about this last year. So we made a deal that we're going to learn in this month, we're going to learn to control our nafs by controlling the portion sizes we eat. Not feeding the nafs constantly, keeping giving the nafs whatever it wants. Right? We can't do that anymore. The more we do that, the more we are allowing the nafs to become you know, untamed, to become off the leash, that you can ask whatever it wants. So in this month, we are training the nafs. If we do that, unfortunately, we're training the nafs that you ask and I will give. I will comply. So all you have to do is ask for more food. Yeah, you know what, you have to fast tomorrow. This food is lovely. Oh, this food's going to go all waste. How much food is made? Look, who's going to eat all of that? Oh, someone's going to have to eat it. So you have to be the one that eats it. Yeah? So you're going to have to be the one that takes the extra spoons. So you're going to do that, to eat extra, to stuff yourself extra. Why drink that bit more? Why? Because I can't go dehydrated tomorrow, eh? You're not going to die. You're not going to die by eating a little less, by eating only the amount that is needed. Just because you're fasting tomorrow gives us no excuse to start feeding the nafs in this way. The more we allow the nafs to ask and we comply and we give, the more the nafs will ask. Because the nafs is not driven through its enmity like shaitan is. The nafs is driven through what? Through desire. Pleasure. The nafs just wants pleasure. That's all a nafs wants. So where the nafs sees pleasure, where we have trained the nafs, pleasure lies in this, the nafs will ask for it. That's simple. It's as simple as that. So if we train our nafs that pleasure lies in doing all of these haram things, because undoubtedly when you do a certain haram action, it will give you temporary pleasure, yes or no? It gives you that temporary pleasure. You will feel that temporary pleasure. You look at somebody you're not meant to look at. You look at things that you're not meant to look at. You do things that you're not meant to do. You eat things that you're not meant to eat. You do haram. It will give you temporary pleasure. Ask that person who takes drugs. Does it give him a temporary pleasure or not? Of course it does. That's why they continue to do it. But this is haram. All of these things that are haram for us are haram. They've been kept haram by Allah Ta'ala because they cause harm, more harm than good. So, those things, if we teach the nafs that this is where pleasure lies, in all of these haram things, then definitely the nafs will ask for those pleasurable things. So a person who's seeing pleasure in watching Netflix all day, and I say, watching, then in Ramadan, you will find it so hard to keep yourself away from that. Because that's where your pleasure will be. So you will find yourself that, oh, okay, I'm going to do only this much in Ramadan. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to carry on watching this much. And that's what people carry on watching. Why? Because pleasure lies, the nafs is asking for the pleasurable things. We haven't controlled the nafs. So we have to try to train the nafs to seek pleasure in what? In the ibadah, worship of Allah Ta'ala. Because that's where true eternal pleasure lies in. Not just temporary pleasure. Long-term pleasure. And we feel that pleasure, like I was talking about earlier, that pleasure that Allah Ta'ala grants to us, gives to us in this month, that we feel that inner contentment. We have to map the nafs, tell it that, look, I'm going to starve you of all of these haram things. I'm going to give you these halal, these worship of Allah, these things that cause the pleasure of Allah. And through these pleasures of Allah, attain that contentment, attain that happiness. Understand that this is where your pleasure lies. Because look, at the end of the day, what are we? This is simple logic. What are we? We are the servants of Allah. We are abd of Allah. We are the ibad of Allah. Yes or no? We have been created as servants of Allah. This is what Allah has created us as. This is our primary function. So our primary function is what? Worship of Allah. So if we fulfill our primary function, is it not going to give us pleasure? Of course it's going to give us pleasure. Because that's us fulfilling our primary role, our main purpose, for what we were created. This is what will give us pleasure. It's simple logic. I'm sure you can understand what I'm talking about. So, pleasure, we have to start to train the nafs, lies in all of these things. Disassociate ourselves with all of these other things that we've made ourselves habitual of, all those sins. And the nafs will become trained in this way slowly, slowly. And that's what the month of Ramadan was all about. Yes? To train that nafs. And that's how we're going to gain taqwa. You see now, yes? Remembering all of this. And I left you with a task, if you remember. In the last speech I gave, we made a task for ourselves. That in this blessed month of Ramadan, we are going to try our best to do all the different forms of good deeds. Yes? We do as many good deeds as we can. Because in this month, Allah Ta'ala grants us such tawfiq, such ability like He has not granted any other time. That's the kind of tawfiq, the ability He gives us in this month. Yes? So we're able to do those good deeds that we were previously unable to do. We're able to pray Fajr. Come on, isn't that enough? We're able to pray Fajr in the masjid. How easy is it to pray the Fajr in the masjid now, in the month of Ramadan? Easy, isn't it? It's not hard. Yes? How easy is it in the month of Ramadan to lift up the Quran and to recite? Outside the month of Ramadan? Very difficult. Maybe on Friday I'll maybe pray Suratul Kahf, maybe. Otherwise, very difficult to pray Quran. Yes or no, outside the month of Ramadan. But in the month of Ramadan, mashallah, we have people praying paras upon paras upon paras, mashallah. How hard is it outside the month of Ramadan to pray salat? Oh, let's say Taraweeh. We're going to pray Taraweeh, yes? How easy is it to pray the Taraweeh, yes? 20 rakats we're praying. Easy, isn't it? In the month of Ramadan? Outside the month of Ramadan? Try praying 20 rakats, isn't it? Right? After the month of Ramadan, I challenge you, yes? Challenge. After the month of Ramadan, I'll let you off on Eid day. You can enjoy Eid day, yes? The day after Eid, yes? After Isha, come to the masjid. After Isha, stay and pray 20 rakats yourself. Pray 20 rakats. On the side, pray 20 rakats. What do you think? Do you think anyone will be able to do it? I don't think any of us will be able to do it. I think we'll get to how much? 10? For the strongest one of us, we'll get to 10 and we'll say, oh, I've prayed now, I've prayed 10. You know, I've prayed so much, I've prayed more than I've prayed in my entire life. I've achieved something today, huh? And then we look at our phone and we see notifications and we say, where are you? Message, where are you? So, oh, look, I have to go here. Yeah. We'll make some excuse and we'll go. The 20 rakats outside the month of Ramadan. In fact, if you were to do 20 rakats outside the month of Ramadan, to make it easier for you, yeah, no problem. Pray inna a'tayna kul huwa Allahu and every rakat as well. Do that as well. I don't think any of us will still get to 20 rakats. So how come in the month of Ramadan it's easier? And we're not praying inna a'tayna kul huwa in the month of Ramadan, are we? You see, we're finishing whole Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. Listening to the Qur'an. In the whole of Taraweeh. Easier. So all these good deeds, Allah Ta'ala, He makes it easier in this blessed month. Because He makes it, why? Because shaitan is taken away. This is proof that shaitan is the one who makes it seem more difficult. The good deeds that we do, who makes it seem difficult? We have the two enemies we said, right? Nafs and shaitan. Which one of them are making it harder? The shaitan. Not the nafs. Because the nafs is still here right now. In the month of Ramadan. But we still find those good deeds to be easy. Relatively easy. It's okay. We can do them. But the nafs is still here. That means the nafs is not the one that is telling us that this good deed is hard. Fajr, waking up for Fajr. Oh, that's a bit too hard for you. You know, you're going to have to go work in the morning. Ah, it's cold outside. Oh, it's raining today. How are you going to go? You're going to get soaked by the time you get to the masjid. All of these things, the nafs is not the one that's teaching you this. Who is it? The shaitan. And that shaitan is not there. That's why from the first day that we see that shaitan is locked away, what happens? What happens for Isha? Packed. Yes or no? It is packed. The whole masjid is packed. And we don't have space. Yes or no? And is it because, mashallah, we have grand masjid here, so everyone wants to pray Salat here? No. Everywhere you go is with what? Same story everywhere. If you drive past at that time, if you're praying a late Taraweeh, and you drive past at that time, you can see. You can see. Every masjid is the same. There's people standing outside. There's no space to go in. They're waiting for the first Jama'ah to finish. Then maybe they can get some space on the side to pray a second Jama'ah. But every single masjid is the same. And today, at this time, we have more masajid than we had 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yes or no? In fact, our masjid here wasn't around till how many years? So, how many masajid there are, how many centers there are that are doing Isha, but still we find packed every single one of them. So the tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala grants to us in this month to make the good deeds easier is way beyond what we can understand. Allah is showering it down for us. He's locked away the shayateen that make it difficult. That's exactly why, the next day after Ramadan finishes, we find it so hard to wake up for Fajr, isn't it? Yeah, for those who are praying Eid Salat at 10 o'clock, Fajr will be gone as well. Yes or no? For those who are praying first Eid Salat, so only that's the reason why we find that Fajr is still packed. Because we have first Eid Salat. Yeah, if you want to try it, don't have first Eid Salat. Have first Eid Salat at 9 o'clock. Then you will see how many people come for Fajr on Eid day. You'll be back to again, two rows again. So why? Because shaitan is out now. Shaitan is out. And he's going to be there trying his best to make us miss our Fajr. And we learn from the ahadith. What do we learn from the ahadith? Rasulullah mentions that the shaitan, he'll comes to us at Fajr time. And what does he do? He strokes us. He's stroking us. Oh, sleep, sleep, sleep. Sleep like the person sleeps on the first night. Sleep, sleep. He strokes us. And that's why you will see that if your eye wakes up, and your eye will wake up on that first day, first day your eye will wake up. Why? Because you have made yourself into routine, isn't it? We've got ourselves for a whole month, we'll be waking up at a certain time, haven't we? And because we've got ourselves in that routine of waking up at that time, what's going to happen on that first day? I will wake up. Doesn't matter how tired you are, your eye will wake up. But then these excuses will start. And you will feel such sweet sleep at that time that within a few seconds you'll be gone. Within a few seconds you'll be gone, sleep. The next time your eye wakes up will be when? You look at the sky, oh, sunrise, oh no, I've missed my Fajr. I've missed it. Too late now. But then when you wake up at that time and you see the sky is sunrise already, and you're like, oh, forget it now, might as well go back to sleep. Try getting back to sleep then. Do you still get the same sleep as you did over there? Oh, it's harder to get to sleep now, isn't it? It takes longer to get to sleep now. Why? Because shaitan is not there stroking you. But your time, shaitan is there, he's stroking, he's telling you, go back to sleep, go back to sleep. You're tired, you're tired. You got a long day ahead of you. You got a long day, you got work to go, you have to wake up in a couple of hours. If you wake up now, then you're going to have to do wudu, you're going to have to freshen your face, you're going to get all freshen up. How are you going to go back to sleep again? You won't get sleep. You find it tricky to get to sleep anyway already. Yeah, you suffer from insomnia, you this, you that, and the rest of it. All these excuses, everything he will throw at you. And he will try his best that we don't pray our Fajr. In the ahadith, we learn that shaitan comes and he ties three knots on our head. In the back of the head, what does he do? He ties three knots. He ties a knot, blows on it. And he makes it like a spell, puts us under our spell. Yeah, puts another knot and he blows into it and he puts us into a spell. Yeah, he doesn't want us to get up. So Rasulullah says that get up, because when you get up, that one knot is untied. You get up and you perform wudu, another knot is untied. You pray your salat, another knot is untied. Untie these knots. This is why you will see that the hardest thing to do when you're waking up for Fajr will be what? Getting out of bed. It's the hardest thing. Why? Because there are three knots still on you. When you get out of bed, a little bit more lighter. The next hardest thing is what? Wudu. Yeah, wudu will be hard, yes? But do wudu. Do wudu. And after that, everything else is easy. Nothing hard now. Once you have got up, done wudu, that's it. Everything else is easy. Yes or no? Praying Fajr, you know, going to the masjid, everything is easy, inshallah. But we have to do this. And the only way practically to be able to do this is don't allow yourself to think. As soon as your eye wakes up, straight away robotic. It has to be robotic. It has to be movement. Like straight away fling the door of duvet open. Fling it off you. Take it off you. Right? Take that duvet off you. Get up. Get out of bed. Yeah, don't think. The more you think that, oh, what's the time? Let me see the time. You start thinking now. The more you start thinking, what's the time? You look at the time and you'll think, oh, I've got 5 more minutes. I can squeeze 5 more minutes in. And you'll put it on snooze and you'll go 5 more minutes. Those 5 more minutes will become half an hour, 1 hour. That's it, finished now. Jamaat is finished. Oh, what's the point getting up now? These excuses will happen now. Don't allow yourself to think. Because shaitan is doing, he's whispering at that time. The more you listen, the more you try to think, the more shaitan will whisper. So at that time, it just has to be a movement. Your eye opens, you straight away just get up. No thinking, no looking at time, no nothing. Just get up straight away, get out of bed. You've done that, one knot is untied. Straight away, go to the toilet. Do your wudu. Then after that, start thinking. Because inshallah, you'll be okay. So you have to put this into schedule. If you put this into schedule, you will see inshallah, you will not miss your Fajr. Yes, I'm giving you practical things to do so that you don't miss your Fajr ever. The ideology has to be created that my salat is the most important thing for me in my life. I can't miss my salat. I cannot miss any prayers. This is it. I've been praying it this month, Alhamdulillah, Allah to you. We have to thank Allah for this. And the more we thank, the more Allah will grant to us. And then we make sure we make that thing that we're going to continue to do this, yes? Because this is one of the biggest reasons. We talked about how Allah Ta'ala grants us tawfiq to do good deeds, yes? You see, we have to thank Allah for these good deeds. You saw that on the first night, what happens? The masjid, we were talking about masjid is packed. How come after two nights the masjid is no longer packed? How come? Is it that we've performed this many janazah salat, yes? This many Muslimun in our area have passed away, so that we've got less Muslims. Is that what's happened? Huh? Well, what's happened then? Shaitan is no longer around, so what's keeping the people who are no longer coming for the first 2 days they came for the masjid, they're no longer coming to the masjid? What is it? It's not showing value to the gift of Allah. It's simple. If you do not value that gift of Allah, what will happen? Allah will take it away. So this tawfiq, this guidance Allah is giving to us, we have to value it because we're here right now, aren't we? The people that are not here anymore, those first 2 days, they're not here, they're not listening to me, so I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to us that we learn a lesson from this. Because year in, year out, we see this. And then we see ourselves falling into the same trap. These people, they lasted only 2 days, 3 days. We last how long? 30 days. But that's it. We last only 30 days too. Because after 30 days, what happens? We're no longer in the masjid too. We are the same. We just last how long? Times 10. They last for 3 days. We do times 10, 30 days. No problem. You last 10 times more. But anything more than that? No, we can't do that. This can't be us anymore. This can't be me. I'm not going to be that one. How do we make sure we do that? First thing is important is what? Raise our hands into Allah Ta'ala at iftar time today. And thank Him for that ability of doing these good deeds. For this fasting that we have been fasting. Oh Allah, thank you for this ability of fasting. For this granting me this tawfiq, this guidance that I am fasting. This guidance that I am praying salat in front of you, that I am putting my head down in front of you. For this guidance that I am praying Quran, I am reciting Quran. Never, ever, ever think that we are doing it and it's out of my own. Oh, look, I am praying Quran. Look, mashallah, this many khatams this year. You know, I prayed all 20 rakats with the imam in Taraweeh. Yeah, I didn't miss takbir ula. You know, I prayed this much, I prayed this much, I did this. Alhamdulillah, never think like this. But unfortunately, we do. Sometimes we do become like this because we take it for granted. We neglect. That's one of the reasons why the tawfiq is then taken away afterwards. This could be one reason. And the prime example of this is Shaitan himself. Yes or no? We learn from his story, don't we? Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran regarding him. How was he before he was cast away from the mercy of Allah? We know about his story, don't we? How was he? He was a great worshipper, wasn't he? He was a great worshipper of Allah. He was worshipping Allah so much that even the angels looked at him and thought, oh, this is a great worshipper of Allah. Yeah. He's an amazing servant of Allah. They thought that he's some high person. That's what the angels thought that. But what happened? Allah Ta'ala knew otherwise. So Allah made it apparent when it comes to the time of telling everybody to prostrate, and Allah Ta'ala told Iblis also to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he refuses. And he becomes insulted that after all this worship of Allah, oh Allah, after all this worship I do of you, for these years and years of worship I have done of yours, you're casting me away because of this one human? This one human, you're casting me away from your mercy? He felt insulted, right? He forgot that all this worship that he was doing of Allah was granted to him, the tawfiq was granted to him by Allah. The guidance was given to him by Allah. If it wasn't for the guidance of Allah, he would not be doing any of that worship. But he forgot this, didn't he? He thought all this worship was his own doing. We can't become like this, not. We cannot become like this. Learn from this. And we understand that all this worship we are doing is granted to us by Allah. Because we thank Allah for this, what will happen? Allah promises us in the Quran. What's the promise of Allah? Allah says, "La in shakartum, la azidannakum." If you show thanks to me, I will definitely grant you more. 100% Allah is saying, Allah will definitely grant us more. So do we have a doubt that when we thank Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, I thank you for the ability you gave me to pray Fajr. If we constantly thank Allah, every day from now till the end of Ramadan, we thank Allah, oh Allah, thank you for the ability you gave me to pray Fajr. I guarantee you, you will still be praying Fajr after Ramadan. Because that's the guarantee of Allah. Guarantee of Allah, Allah is saying in the Quran. So let's continue to thank Allah Ta'ala for these blessings He is giving to us. The guidance He is giving to us. This is one thing that we want to do. Yes? And inshaAllah we will get that tawfiq and the ability to worship Allah beyond the month. And if you remember, jogging memories from last time, that's something new that I'm leaving you with inshaAllah. Yes? That we want to become the thankful servant of Allah. Yes? And to jog memories that we were going to do the multiple tasks, the multiple good deeds that we're going to do in this month. Yes? Try to do even those good deeds that you never ever done before in your life. You've never done that good deed before. Yeah? After dhuhr, you've only ever prayed 2 rakat sunnah. Because they're mu'akkad, right? You've never prayed 2 rakat nafil. Try. Pray that nafil. Because if you don't pray in this month of Ramadan, where it's becoming easier for us to do those good deeds, when are we ever going to pray those? Tell me, when are we ever going to pray in our lives? After Maghrib, we're praying 2 rakat sunnah? Pray two more rakats with the intention of the nafil. And in fact, with that same intention, make the intention of awwabin. I guarantee you they'll be easy for you to pray. They won't be hard. Because Allah makes the good deeds easy in this month. The shaitan is not there to make it hard, to make it seem hard. So you see, in this month, we want to try to do as many good deeds as we can. Explore all those forms of good deeds that we've never once before done before in our lives. Explore all those good deeds. And you will find them good deeds to be easy, inshallah. Once we've explored all these multiple good deeds, you will start to see that, you know, this good deed is quite easy, you know. I find that quite all right. Because everyone's different. So you will find a good deed that will connect, you will connect with. You'll be able to do this good deed quite easily. Somebody will be able to do charity a lot because they're a generous person anyway. Somebody will be able to do, you know, pray a lot of Quran because they like reading. Somebody will be able to fast. I can fast, I'm quite good, you know. I can, because they like to, they don't enjoy food too much. They're not like a foodie, or they're like, you know, they're right with staying hungry. It's fine. So somebody can fast. Somebody can do this, somebody can do that, whichever good deed that you can do. Pick a good deed. Yes? Pick that one good deed that you find to be easy for you in this month. And that good deed, you're going to make a promise to yourself now. Yeah, whilst you're sitting here, try to pick the good deed already. Because I think I remember I said this last year. Can you remember? I told you to pick a good deed. But why is it that we found ourselves forgetting that we even talked about this topic? Because we didn't pick the good deed. We thought that I'll pick the good deed later. Yeah, I'll pick it later. Yeah, I'll think about that later. That later is not going to come. Because who's going to be there nagging you and trying to remind you? No one's going to be there. Yeah, until next year I come and I ask again, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grants us life. Now what did we talk about last year? Then we won't have to hang our heads in shame. Because we'll be acting on this, isn't it? If we're acting on it, then we'll remember. Oh, yeah, remember, we talked about that. Inshallah, yes? So we're going to pick this good deed, pick a good deed right now that you find to be easy. Think about it. Whatever it might be. Yeah, it might be that I find 2 rakats after Maghrib easy, extra. It might be that I find giving charity every day easy. It might be that I find fasting easy. It might be that I find praying tahajjud easy because it matches my work schedule. It might be whatever it may be. Pick a good deed. It might be that I pray, I find praying Yaseen in the morning easier now because I never used to do it before. It has to be something that you weren't doing before in your life. Pick that good deed. Once you've picked that good deed, now make that promise to yourself that from now till next Ramadan, with continuity, no matter what happens in your life, you will never leave that good deed. That one good deed, there's only one good deed, you will always, always do it with continuity. Everybody make that intention, yes? So make that intention from now till next Ramadan, we're going to continue doing that one good deed, inshallah. What will happen as a result of this? You will see that you're doing that one good deed that you weren't doing before in your life. So necessarily your level of spirituality will be higher, isn't it? Your taqwa level will be higher, inshallah. So this is what is meant by la'allakum tattaqoon. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants us this month of Ramadan to become. A means of gaining taqwa. It's high level of spirituality. So now we're going to come out of this month of Ramadan. We're going to make sure that we do till next Ramadan. We're going to continue doing this good deed. Next Ramadan, when we enter into that month of Ramadan, would we not have entered that month of Ramadan, inshallah, Allah grants us life, higher level of spirituality than we entered this month of Ramadan? Isn't it? Necessarily we would have, because we were doing a better, more good deeds. Next Ramadan, you're going to pick another good deed, inshallah. Yes? And then you're going to continue that good deed till the following Ramadan. Then you will get higher and higher and higher in spirituality. You will find yourselves at a higher level of spirituality, that those good deeds that you found once upon a time harder, you will inshallah find them to be easier. Because you will be on a higher level of spirituality, more closeness to Allah. This is the pathway of gaining that taqwa, that pathway of gaining that spirituality and gaining that pleasure of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to really act on what we hear, to take these practical things on board, inshallah. So I leave you two things, inshallah. If you remember them, yes. One thing is to pick this one good deed that we're going to continue throughout our lives. And the other thing is that throughout the rest of the month, we're going to stay thankful to Allah for all the forms of good deeds that we are doing. And inshallah, through that, we are envisaging that we're going to get the ability to, inshallah, continue those good deeds, especially the fara'id, after the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah for listening.